Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi there. Welcome to New Life Live. Steve Arterburn here with my good friend and colleague, Dr. Dave Stoop. Hello, Dave.
Hi. Good to see you in the flesh.
Yes, I am in the flesh, and I'm in...
Rather on a video screen.
Yeah. And if you want to see us, you know, we're on Facebook Live right now. You could go right there. Jill Hubbard's going to be joining us pretty soon. But I hope that you're having a great day today. And if you want to join us, it's 1-800-229-3000. 1-800-229-3000. Now, a couple of things. One, I want to talk about Kobe Bryant here in a minute because I forgot to do that yesterday. But also, I promised, here comes Jill now, I promised that I was going to talk about something I learned about marriage. Well, I was on Frank Sontag's show yesterday, and I shared it then on KKLA. And so here's the profound thing that I learned, Dave. Okay, This is for men. I was talking to my wife, and she was talking about... Hi, Jill. How you doing?
Hi, Steve. Good.
So she was talking about feeling bad, and I think one of the kids had been disrespectful and some things like that. And so I started in on all of the wonderful things about her, because that's what I do. And I see that maybe for the first time, she's not really responding to that. And I come to realize it was the typical male fix-it mode, when what she really needed was to know that I had heard exactly how she felt, what had happened. I listened to her, and that I kind of, in a way, felt what she felt. So,
like you had empathy for her.
You could
relate on an intellectual level and a heart level.
Now, a lot of people are thinking, oh, so took you 15 years in your marriage to get to that point. But I'm trying to say is that I've never heard anybody say that word felt. You know, you hear empathy,
right,
you hear in a tune. So then the next day I tell her, hey, you know what? I think I did this, went into fix-it mode, started talking about, but here's what you really wanted. And she couldn't believe that I had actually taken the time to try to figure that out. So I just want to say to guys, maybe you're like me, and you're thinking that the male fix-it mode is, well, let's solve this problem or whatever. But in reality, it might come out in the form of your wife's talking about struggle or being down or something. You want to pick her up, want her to feel better. That can come later. But first, we really have to connect at that deeper level. Listen, hear it, and try to feel the same kind of feeling.
And what's interesting is that fixes it. That can fix it.
It's enough.
It's enough.
Yes, it's amazing.
Being there.
When I don't fix it, I fix it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So you might be thinking that after 15 years of marriage, that's the kind of insight I have, that maybe I shouldn't have a radio show.
Yeah.
All right. Well, anyway, I hope that might be an inspiration to some guy that just, you know, clicks into that I'm not here mode, and here's what you need to be thinking about. And yeah, I know it's rough, but life can be different. 1-800-229-3000. I'll talk about Kobe right after this. because I did on the show, the Drive Time show, but I didn't on New Life yesterday. By the way, Valentine's Day, Intimacy and Marriage Weekend right here in Orange County. Maybe it's time to call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. Dr. Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard. Your phone calls 1-800-229-3000. And Terry Mack tells me there is actually a call about Kobe from Covina, KKLA listener. Hi, Martha. How are you?
Hi, Steve. You know, I was listening to you on the Frank Sontag show. I guess it was yesterday. And I thought I heard you touch on the fact that, you know, Kobe was really good to his children, and he, you know, he had a lot of good morals, and you know, all those things that, you know, good people have. And I know that you also have seminary training, and I know that I deal with doubt sometimes too. That, you know, that I'm really going to go, you know, go to heaven.
Yeah.
But do you think that just because Kobe had all those good traits, that therefore he is in heaven?
Well, if you know anything about New Life and the kind of the foundation that we started all this on, it is on the life of Christ. And Jesus said this. Jesus said, "I am the way and the truth and the life. And no one comes to the Father except through me." And that doesn't mean you come to the Father by doing things the way Jesus did. You simply have to understand that sin has a price that has to be paid, and Jesus did that for us. So when I accept him as my Savior, that is the criteria under which God allows me into heaven. And since it is God's universe and God's heaven, he can choose whatever criteria he wants, and he chose his son Jesus. So we all want to do good things and great things, but when it comes to eternity, we have to accept Christ as our Savior. People say, "Well,
people say
that's awfully limiting," but it's not. Yeah. It's not limiting because that invitation is open to anyone.
Right.
So why do you ask
but
that question? Why do you ask that question?
Because what I'm saying is, a person could do all these good things and be this wonderful person that we look up to and everything, but every time someone dies, I keep asking myself, you know, were they a Christian and did they go to heaven? Because that's my main concern.
Well, sure.
I don't care. I mean, you know, he can get all the adulation he wants, you know, and he can have people, crowds of people thinking, "Oh, wow, look at this," you know, but the main thing is, where was he headed?
Here's what I think is the main thing, Martha. I think it is important for us to always point people to Christ and to heaven. In the wake of a tragedy like that, we might want to ask ourselves, what are we doing today to make our life count? Mm-hmm. Because we may not have another day. I think that's important. You know,
that's
Solomon's
true.
13, and he's got he's got a third of his life already over if he were to die at around
41. Instead of focusing in on what he did, we focus in on, you know, am I doing the, and I do, I do, I'm thinking about that right now. It really makes me think, am I doing the right things?
Right, but Martha, here's the other thing. We don't want to, as Christians, be insensitive to the fact that a real tragedy happened and that it really hurt a lot of people close to him and a lot of people that were fans of him. And we want to be sure that we're not using it as an excuse to be preaching at people versus during, you know, it just happened a couple of days ago. So let's be compassionate and let's grieve with people, come alongside people and share in their sadness.
Yeah, and we can't truly know a person's heart. All we can do is see their behavior and their actions. And all of us who are followers of Christ, should be trying to be more Christ-like, right? Yeah. That's an outgrowth of our love for Jesus, so that hopefully you do see good things in our lives.
And right? One good thing that you saw in his life was he was one of the greatest basketball players ever, and he took that and he was coaching a team his daughter was on.
Right.
He was the coach.
Right.
And he was there every day. And so that's a great, great example. And I hope and pray that along the way he accepted Christ.
Well, and we do know he went to church that morning.
Yeah, he was
right?
there. So, and so hopeful for
those
that.
Those are behaviors, but we don't know.
Right. But I do think that we have to remind ourselves, too, it's a fallen world. And in a fallen world, tragedy happens. If we were in the garden, it wouldn't happen. But we messed up there, and if we had been in the garden, we would have messed up. So in a broken, fallen world, really crummy stuff happens, like somebody dies at 41 who has these children and a wife that he leaves behind and fans that admire him. And it looks like he could have done so many other things. So we want to be honoring the good things of a person like that. And one of the greatest honors that we can give him is to use his untimely death as an excuse to examine our own lives and decide that I may not have all the time that I think I have. I'm going to go make things right with other people. That would be a really great thing to do.
Be life-changing for us. And it would be a way to honor his life.
Yeah. All right. So, enough said. Enough about that, but don't stop on this program praying that, God will be there with his family and the family of the others. I mean, today, finally they got around to telling the stories of the other people that died with Kobe, which is just so tragic. There were two other young girls on that flight, and moms and dads. It's just really, really so very sad. Now, I'll say this. If you need something to help you in grieving, maybe this tapped into a loss that you've never gotten over. Dave and I did this grief workbook, life recovery workbook, and it's a great tool to help you grieve and get over the things that maybe you've been holding on to. I've always said, unresolved grief or ungrieved losses, big, huge problem in the Christian community, because we just kind of encourage people to get over stuff. Maybe we shouldn't get over it so quickly, and we drag stuff around.
We get over it by going through it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Let's talk to Suzanne, Annapolis, Maryland, WAVA, way over on the other side of the world there with a great station from Salem. Hi, Suzanne. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing great.
What's on your mind today?
Actually, I was calling in reference to the previous caller.
Yeah.
This has been an absolute tragedy. And I get it that, that's the first thing I thought about was, oh man, I pray that they were safe and things like that. But right now, I agree with you. We need to be really compassionate. We really need to be praying for the wives and the children and the families that have been affected. I know I read on the husband of the wife who was one of the coaches that was killed. And, it's just, we really need to pray for them. That, to me, right now, is more important. And then also, I think Kobe and his daughter went to church prior to the accident. So, I think we really need to be more into being more compassionate and just praying for the children and the spouses of the people that were tragically killed in that accident, the helicopter accident.
I absolutely agree. Absolutely agree. Thank you, Suzanne, for that reminder. And, it is interesting what we do as Christians sometimes. in the wake of tragedy, I've told this story before. When Marilyn Meberg's husband died of cancer, she was with Women of Faith. She told me this nice little Christian lady came up and said, well, now you can be married to Jesus. Not exactly what you'd want to hear in the wake of a death like that. Or Romans 8:28, you know, well, all good things work together. Yes, we know that they do, but what you want to do
is
not
the time to
talk about that at another time. 1-800-229-3000 is our phone number. And I want to remind everybody, I'm here in Southern California, and I'm going to be right back here Valentine's weekend, February 14th. And I got to tell you, this would be a great, great thing if you could stop long enough, evaluate your marriage, and maybe you think, okay, I really do need to do some work here. I don't know of anything that works better in less time than coming to that weekend and hearing Mylon Kay. I'll be there talking about the stuff I talk about. But we see marriages totally change within a weekend. Now, does it fix everything? No. But you change trajectory. You're doing things in a different way than you ever did before. And so I can't encourage you enough. Call us 1-800-NEW-LIFE and let us tell you about this. There's scholarship money available. You can do this. And we want you there, and we don't want money to stand in the way. But so here's the deal. In the Christian community, we've got about a third of the people divorcing, and you've got another third, they'll never divorce, but they're miserable and they're married. We want them
not to be miserable, not to settle for that, right? Why is that an either-or choice? You know, either I divorce or I stay miserable.
Exactly.
How about let's work it through?
Please.
Have a better relationship.
They don't know how to work it through a lot of times and give up.
Yeah.
And we say, here's an opportunity to work it through, and we've got all kinds of evidence that it does it.
I think your phone's buzzing there, Dave. So, all right. 1-800-229-3000. And let me go to this phone call here. How about we talk with, who's it going to be here? And just excuse me for a second. It's kind of hard to work this, but maybe line one there. I was going to talk with, who is that? Hi there. How you doing? Welcome to New Life.
My name is Bob.
Hi, Bob. What's going on
How
with you today?
You?
I'm doing okay. How can we help today?
I'm gonna turn my volume down and just. I'm a chaplain. I was talking with a patient who's dying. She was upset because her oldest daughter calls, and the patient will say, "Honey, I'm dying," and all the daughter wants to do is talk about her day and how much fun she had over the weekend. And it upsets the patient because the patient wants to talk about her death. Mm-hmm. And so this is what I said to her, and I just want maybe one of y'all to help me with the grief thing. I said to the patient, please consider the notion that your daughter may not want to talk about her mother dying. So in defense, she thinks about something else. My question for the group is, is there another reason why the daughter may not want to talk to her mother about her mother's death?
Okay. Dave, what do you think might be a reason that the daughter is just not really wanting to go over death every time talking to mom?
Well, you already covered the denial thing. It could be she's so into herself that she doesn't know what goes on with anybody else in her life, and isn't really interested in knowing what's going on with everybody else in her life. That doesn't reflect very well on the daughter. It's more, mm-hmm. I like your answer with the denial that I don't want to talk about my mother dying. It's too hard for me to deal with. And maybe she'll admit that at some point.
Well, and sometimes it's like if we don't talk about it, then it's not true.
Yeah.
Or we also don't know how long has mother been dying. And so if mother is saying, I'm dying, and it's been over a long period of time, is the daughter just bypassing that?
We're all dying over a long period of time.
We are all dying. So there could be a lot of variations to the relationship, right?
But I would encourage the mother to share with the daughter. You know, sometimes when you're talking about things like this, it seems like you're acting like I'm not terminal and my time isn't limited. And I just wonder if you're aware of that and we could talk about that. Because we don't have to talk about me dying every time you call, but I'm in a really tough place and it seems like we're not talking about it at all.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and really glad you're with us here today. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. You need some help. We've got people that are waiting by the phone just to talk to you about anything you want to talk about. And if you're struggling with grief, we've got a workbook for you. It's the New Life Life Recovery Workbook on grieving, and it really is a great tool to deal with the realities of life. Let's go to Nancy, Sacramento, California. She listens on the New Life app. Hi, Nancy. How are you?
Hi. Good. Hi, Steve.
Hi.
Let's see. I called you and Dave Stoop a little over a year ago and talked to you about my daughter,
uh-huh.
who I suspected was an alcoholic. And
how old is your daughter?
She is 46.
46, okay.
And I did talk to her at one point, and she was very receptive and said she knew it. At that point, I had already told you that. So that following a year ago at Christmas, she was drinking, and my 17-year-old grandson asked her if she was drinking, and she said no. And when she walked away, he took a sip, and he got so mad he locked himself in the bathroom. And anyway, so a couple days later I went back to talk to her because my grandkids were really upset.
Yeah.
And she just said some really horrible things to me, called me names, said I was a narcissist, a horrible mother.
Yeah, that's what,
went on and on.
What alcoholics do when they're drinking and not recovering, and they're angry, and they're defensive, and all of that.
That's the addiction talking.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So what's the question for us? How can we help you?
What I want to know is how do I relate to her? Because I find myself, I feel badly because she's still, she went to AA, then stopped going there, and now she's drinking, and then I'm just really angry. I feel really angry because I feel like I'm carrying her guilt.
Mm-hmm.
And her, you know, I feel like I should have done more. There was
then.
You know,
then
I
that would be well.
More.
That would be your guilt then. Not if you feel like you should have done more, then you're carrying your own guilt, not hers. You're carrying guilt over what you may not have done. And if that's true, now we can do something about that.
Well, yeah, you're probably right about that.
Okay.
Because when I look back, I think I should have done more, but she would tell me to stay out of it. It wasn't like what
I
thought.
Well, and it's hard to do more, Nancy.
It is.
And right? She's an adult. She's 46 now. She has a 17-year-old.
So.
Yeah.
That's why there's Al-Anon, because it helps you come to terms with the fact that there's nothing you could do. You're fighting genetics. You're fighting something that's beyond your control, but there's a way to win the battle.
Nancy?
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you can stay in that guilt over what you didn't do and not do one bit of good with it, right? That's not going to help anything, right?
Right, and that's why I'm calling you, because I'm really tired of being there.
So
I'd like to move on from there.
Okay, so what I think you need, first of all, are some things for you to do separate from your daughter, and I think there's some things you need to do in relationship to your daughter. So she comes to your house, and she drinks, and then she starts yelling at you and all this kind of stuff. Well, if you spend more than 1 second engaged in conversation with her, you're enabling her and allowing her and reinforcing her temper tantrums at age 46. That's you don't want to do that, right? So
right, and she doesn't drink around me. She just tells me she is.
She did at your house, right?
You're right. She did.
Okay.
At Christmas.
So that, yeah. All right. So she does drink around you. But whenever she is disrespectful to you, you need to tell her, honey, this is an example of the way a 46-year-old woman talks to her mother who isn't in some kind of character building or recovery program. And I got to tell you, honey, I've been going to Al-Anon. I go every week now. And I'm learning some things about me and my own recovery that I wish you could experience too. Anytime you want to go to an AA meeting, I will go with you. I will take you. I'll drive you there. But what I'm not going to do, I'm not going to listen to a 46-year-old woman have a temper tantrum and talk to her mother like she's 13. And then you just leave. Or you hang up the phone.
Okay.
But you must not engage in these kinds of things because it upsets you and it makes her feel a little better. And what you want to do is you want to help her to see you're different now. But you're going to need to get in your own recovery program.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't, you're not doing all that you can do. Why do you need to get in a recovery program? Because it's saying to her, my problem is so serious, my mother finally had to start going to meetings herself. But if it's just more of the same kind of stuff, she's not going to get better, and you're not going to feel better about your contribution to it. It's not convenient to go to Al-Anon meetings. And some of them aren't very fun, but then others are just absolutely amazing. So I want to encourage you to make a commitment for your own recovery. Now, I'm going to send you, Dave and I wrote this book, Take Your Life Back. That's what it's all about. I'll send you the devotional, the workbook, and the book. And let me send you a Life Recovery Bible to send her, because that's what she needs to get into. She really needs to go to work on her life. I hope that's helpful. 1-800-229-3000. We'll be back.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay in the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you a set of four devotionals, 100 Days of Character, Peace, Prayer, and the newly released 100 Days of Healing. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops.
I did go to Take Your Life Back. That's been immensely helpful to me. That's why I continue to support the ministry with the hope that not only am I helping my own situation, that I'm helping others as well.
Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today.
We're glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here. Really glad you're with us here today. Let's go to Angela, Dallas, California. She is listening on KWRD and glad that she is. Hi, Angela. How are you today?
Hello.
Hi. What's going on?
Thank you for taking my call.
Sure. How could we help?
I listen to you guys all the time, every time I'm in my car, and it's just about every day. And all of you, you melt my heart. Mm-hmm. Your words are just encouraging, and I'm like, so many people. And the advice and how y'all reach out to them and advise them, it just like, oh, I'm like, I got to call them. And I can't believe I remembered y'all number. But anyway, long story short. I got a 28-year-old son, and I got four sons, but right now, I don't like this son.
Okay.
I love him to death, but I don't like him. It's like, ooh, I can't stand him.
Does he live with you?
No.
Okay.
Oh, no.
No. All right.
I left him. That's what he told me. I left him. But anyway, he don't live with me. I wouldn't have that right now. I don't know what to do now, but I know I'm not going to do that.
Okay. So what's the question for us? What's he involved with? Why don't you like him?
Well, he used drugs and alcohol, and I don't know how to help him. I was thinking if I would say, okay, I'll give you $100 if you go to a rehab, sign up, get in there, and stay for the duration of 30 days or 90 days or 6 months, however long they would require you to, and then I give you $100 after you finish, and you got to complete it. And if you don't do that, then I'm just not.
Yeah,
I don't want to.
Well, Angela, I don't think I don't think it's a very, very good way to approach it. And let's just try to explore a couple of other options. And you guys just throw in what you're thinking there. But is his father involved at all with his life?
His father died last year.
Okay. All right. So, Angela, that could give you a nice little way to start a discussion with him. And you say this to him. I am so sorry about your dad dying and the way life is for you right now. And I really sense that you're not happy either. And I want to help you with that. And I know it seems like all you've got is this alcohol or drug thing that gives you some kind of relief. But mm-hmm. I really think if you could do what so many other people have done and you get into recovery, then I think you're going to feel better about yourself. You're going to come out of this and you're going to be that guy that you want to be. And I'll help you find the place to get help. I'll go there with you. I'll be part of it. I'll support you with it. But I can't be part of your life if you go this way, because you're going to bring me down and you're going to bring you down. But I want to see you be the man that God made you to be. And I think that's what you want for your life. So let's work together to try to make it better. Dave, what do you think is her best shot?
I think, Angela, you've got to start going to Al-Anon meetings so that you can do what Steve is suggesting you do and to be able to do it effectively. There's something that happens to a person who is involved with Al-Anon in a healthy way. They get healthy, and the people around them are confronted with their lack of health. And it'd be the best message that your son could ever get from you is that I'm going to deal with my part of the problem, and hopefully mm-hmm. someday you'll deal with your part of the problem.
Right.
And I'm wondering if there's any family support, like his siblings, mm-hmm. and the possibility of doing an intervention
right.
on him.
Yep. And intervention, too, can be the formal kind, and mm-hmm. it can also be
the informal,
where you're saying to a person, I want you to think back of, this is the way things were. This is how things were with you. I remember these things. But now here's what's going on. And let's go get some help together. I mean, that's a form of intervention mm-hmm. where you're
right.
reminding them of the good and the positive stuff that was there before the alcohol and the drugs took over. So, Angela, I'll send you take your life back, and I'll send you a Life Recovery Bible to give to him. Here's the bad news. Somebody ends up with an addiction problem. You need to go to meetings. It's not your problem, but it's like if somebody betrays you, now you have to forgive them. I mean, not only do you have the pain mm-hmm. of betrayal, but now I've got to go through a forgiveness process.
And a lot of therapy.
A lot of therapy. So it's a bummer. But if you want to help somebody and help yourself, you say, they have a problem. I have to go to a meeting this week. And there's just no other simple way. And we sound like broken records saying it, because it's what you need to do. And when you call, if you're not doing that, just know we're going to say, you need to go to some meetings yourself. And I want to tell you something. You learn things. You become wise. You're not bitter. You become a person that's respected, even in the midst of the other person continuing to struggle in whatever way that they do. All right. I'll get those things to you. Speaking of struggle, Larry is, it's never a struggle to talk to you, Larry, and he's in the studio right now, and it looks like you have something you want to share with us.
Well, I love the testimonies we get.
Yeah.
And that's the reason we ask people to give, because their lives are changed, and you know, it just changes so much.
It's, yeah.
So here's one. I like this a lot. I listen to the podcast regularly and have learned so much about how to become a healthy person and how to have a relationship that works. As a kid growing up without a dad, I realized how as an adult that I missed out on a lot. I didn't have an example to look up to. But listening to the guys on New Life Live, I found role models of strength, honesty, sensitivity, and humor that I can learn from in my journey to become the man that God has for me.
Mm.
I sometimes wonder how my life would have been different if I had had a man like Steve, Mylon, Dave, John, or Henry to guide me when I was growing up. Lord willing, if I get married and have a family one day, I'll be able to be that positive and connecting father that I never had.
Hmm.
So
that's wonderful.
You guys have impact. You have no idea. And to our audience, that's I feel like a broken record. You just use that phrase too. But
which is kind of being a broken record.
Yeah, it is.
I use the phrase broken record more than one time in the show. It's okay. It's just who we are. That's what we do.
Well, we count on your report as a nonprofit 501c3 that depends upon donations. We depend upon your willingness to give. And we have a thank you gift, and we have Club New Life where we have a thank you gift. We have thank you gifts, but we want you to give because of your heart, because of what you see happen in people's mm-hmm. lives when they intersect with New Life.
Right.
So if you could call our 800 New Life number, find out about Club New Life. There's so much good to say about it. Steve, you were doing videos this morning for the Club New Life library.
Yeah.
And we had those
fatal excuses. One of four videos on fatal excuses that kill the dream, kill the potential that we have, and I think it's above average in quality. So tune in. go watch it.
It will be once it's edited.
Yeah. Dave said it will be once it's edited.
You know, you and I were at KKLA yesterday, and that one station, you know, we have to pay to be on that station. Mm-hmm. And when you think of all of the people in that listening area, mm-hmm. when people support us and we pay for that time to be on there, I mean, the reach is absolutely, you have no idea how many people you are putting God's truth into their car at whenever, or at, in their office, wherever they are, or on the podcast that gets recorded. I mean, it really is stunning to think of the impact just from that one station here in California.
And if you think of another station called WAVA in Washington, D.C.,
yes.
That's, boy, there's a city that needs it like you can't believe right now.
Well, okay. So now you're being political. Okay. So anyway, yeah, call us, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, I'll send you the grief workbook, gift of any amount, grief workbook. Would love for you to have it. It's our way of saying thank you, and thank you, Larry, for all you do.
Can I also just mention, we haven't mentioned it a lot lately, we have a cruise coming up this year, later in the year.
Yep.
September 25th, October 2nd, we have a theme of, that is about praising God based on Psalm 145. And it's a great trip. Only Club New Life, only New Life people will be on there because we chartered the whole ship.
Yeah, it's all the whole ship will be powered by the Holy Spirit, and we want you to come. If you've never been on a New Life trip, they really are very, very special. It's just hard to describe, and I think you will come back like other folks.
And we stopped talking about it a little bit before the holidays, and the signups have just slowed. We need to get it going again to finish up. We got about 25 cabins left. So I hope you'll call us and sign up.
Yeah, please do. All right. We'll be back right after this. 1-800-NEW-LIFE if you can help us or we can help you. It's the same number. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We are back. Steve Arterburn here with two great, wonderful, fabulous friends of mine, Dave Stoop, Dr. Jill Hubbard, and you. And we want to encourage you, if somebody you know Needs Every Man's Battle. It's February the 7th in San Jose. Let's go to this call. It's Jay. He's calling from Washington, D.C. Listens on WAVA. Larry mentioned that station. Hi, Jay. How are you today?
Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Hey, I've been struggling with masturbation for years.
Yeah.
And I've had a lot of guilty conscience about it. I'm a mature Christian. I'm married. Go to counseling every week with my wife.
Yeah.
Who's bipolar and all. And so I brought up the subject of masturbation to my therapist. And he defended it, said it was healthy, and he's a secular therapist. And so I've been taught through the scriptures is different than what my therapist says.
Mm-hmm.
Can you give me some insight on this?
Okay. Be happy to do that. I'll start here by saying this. Jay, this is such a tumultuous issue in your life that it seems to me it's almost like I would encourage you to decide to do whatever it takes, and that might even be coming to Every Man's Battle, to go a year where you are not involved with it, because I think you would feel so much better about yourself given. Okay, so then you decide, yeah, that's a good idea, and then you might need a support group or come to Every Man's Battle. But here's the other thing. Here's, we know it's not good if, rather than we choose to, it becomes a compulsion that we have no control over. We also know that if we go to that, which is sex with ourselves, and sex was not intended to be the end result, something of ourselves, it prevents us from focusing on the other person and wanting to be intimate and connected at whatever level we can be. In other words, we say, okay, I'll just go do this, and now my energy, my focus and all isn't on her, which really might help her if all of my sexual and emotional and spiritual energy was focused on her. She needs me. So just those two things right off the bat would say to me, this is probably not a good thing for you, whether or not it's ever good in the universe for
right.
anybody. We know it's not the worst thing in the world, but we know it can really hurt a person's ability to be intimate with another person. Well, Dave, your thought?
Well, in a way, it's taking something away from your wife, mm-hmm. too, is another mm-hmm. way to look at it, in that you're self-focused instead of being focused on her. And you were saying that, Steve.
Yeah.
Well, sorry, Dave, I'm wondering why you can't bring your desires, your stress, bring all of that into relationship, right? You're choosing to go deal with your problems by yourself in your own way instead of bringing it into relationship with your wife, as marriage is intended to do. And so you're in counseling, which is a good thing. So to talk about those issues, you know, why does it not feel safe?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, and to bring it up, regardless of the therapist's perspective on it, mm-hmm. the fact that it takes away from your wife, and your wife is there in counseling with you, and help us so that we can break the cycle that we're trapped in, that I'm trapped in.
Right, and so part of the problem with it, too, is the lust factor, right,
yeah.
and the compulsivity that you were saying
right.
about Steve. And so to look at, too, when are you feeling compelled to go do that, to move away from relationship instead of towards relationship? What is going on for you? And to look at those issues.
Yeah. So any case that could be made by your therapist that, well, you know, this is not really a big deal and it's relief or release or all that, hey, listen. There's no physiological reason you have to do this, It all just assimilates into your body. But when you do it, it causes shame and distance and doubt and all that. And so I think if you'd do whatever it took to have a little abstinence from it, I think you'd find out, boy, life is better without this, no matter what.
Because for you, it's a stumbling block.
Yeah.
Go a month. I think you groaned when Steve said go a year. Go a month and then go another month and then go another month until you hit the year.
Let's be really healthy. Let's just go a day. All right. You know what? I'm going to work in one more phone call here. Maria, Dallas, Texas, KWRD. Hi. How are you? Don't have a lot of time, but I'm going to try to get your call. What's going on?
Yes, I just wanted to know how do I deal with depression and learn to love myself more? I was in a marriage when I was very young, at 20. And it was an abusive marriage. Mm-hmm. I ended up getting pregnant, and I left him after the baby was born because he beat me up. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what, I love my baby and myself at that point. And now she's 23. But then later on, I got sexually abused, sexually assaulted, I'm sorry. And I tend to fall into relationships where I feel comfortable in abusive relationships.
Okay.
And whether it's physically, emotionally, or verbally.
Here we go. We
and
get it.
I just don't.
Let us help you.
So, Maria, part of how you love yourself is you start to recognize the signs sooner. You know, and you have to work with someone to help you to hone in on what is it that is drawing me towards these people? Mm-hmm. What's the hook for me that somehow my brain is fooled into thinking I'm going to get my needs met, and then the situation flips. Right? So you have to start to recognize that. And that's very alluring. It can say, oh, well, this time maybe this is the one because he's all about me. And then as soon as he has you, he flips on you. Right? So if something's too good to be true, it is. It's too good to be true.
And Maria, if you were able to develop healthy female relationships, where you have three different groups of women. You have a women's Bible study. You have a women's codependency group that you go to. And a women's something else. Maybe
like a close support group of two or three others.
Or a hobby.
Well, that's the thing. I was born and raised Catholic, and I'm cradle Catholic, so there's not so much of that. So I've even tried to go to other churches.
Maria?
Good, do.
So you need to quit saying.
Go to Bible teaching.
You need to watch my videos on fatal excuses, because you have to not use your Catholic background and all of that as the excuse. You say, okay, that's the way it was. Now, how's it going to be today? Well, today I make another phone call. Or I look online at where the groups are meeting, and you force yourself to go find a great group of women, and then you find another one. If you'll saturate your life with healthy women who are trying to make their lives better, you're going to be attracted to healthier men, because you're not going to be desperate to meet so many needs through the male relationship.
It's almost paradoxical, Maria. You find health through other women. And through that relationship, you find a healthy man.
Wish we had more time. I'm going to send you a restoration Bible, and there's a great plan in there of how to restore all of this back. If anybody needs help, 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you can help us, a gift of any amount, send you the brand new recovery workbook on grief. It really can help. Call us. Come join us for Every Man's Battle or our weekend on intimacy and marriage. It could change everything. We love you. Call us. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you, but you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433, or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again tomorrow for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.